for our message from the Bible this morning, we're going to go back to Philippians chapter 1, the passage of scripture that we've been studying together. I want to read the closing verses of the chapter, and we will look in particular at verses 28 through to 30. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign of them, of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. God will bless to us with the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Last week we were looking at verse 27, and in particular we were encouraging each other to stand firm in the faith and to stand united with one another. This passage of scripture that we've read this morning gives us the reason why Paul gives that exhortation. He says that the Christian life is not going to be easy. We have just sung this hymn, and we will sing the remainder of it after the message this morning. But it begins talking about the storms of life. Verse 2 talks about the straits of fear. And verse 3 talks about the floods of death. Poetic language, but a reminder that throughout life there are problems. And all of us at different times face fears, and all of us will face the reality of death, our own death, the death of loved ones. And we cannot escape these issues. Many people today want to preach a message which says, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and all of your problems will be solved. The Bible says, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and your problems will be multiplied. But as you face those problems, so you will know God's help. In this passage, Paul talks about being frightened, verse 28, not frightened by your opponents. And there I want to talk about faith and fear. As he goes on, he talks about salvation and destruction. And then thirdly, he talks about being saved, but also suffering. So let's look at these three headings this morning. Faith and fear. In verse 28, he says, "I'm not frightened in anything by your opponents." Now, Paul was writing to a church that was suffering because people weren't happy with what they were teaching, and they were trying to destroy the church. These people hated Christians and wanted to do all that they could to dissuade people from becoming Christians, or what would be, if you like, a far better result for them would be to attack Christians so that eventually those Christians would turn away from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Life was not easy for them. But let's be honest, life is not easy for any of us in our many and varied situations. Paul is here dealing with people who were tempted, one, to turn away from the faith, or two, not to get involved in the faith. And Paul is talking here about the opponents, about those who opposed the Christians and actually made life difficult for them. And let me think of your situation this morning. If you're here and you've been coming along, maybe you've been coming for years, maybe you've been coming just recently, and you've been seriously thinking about becoming a Christian, but you've kept thinking, well, if I make that decision, if I say, yes, I'm going to repent of my sin, I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what will so-and-so think? What effect will it have on my job? What about that leisure activity? Now, it's good and right when you make a big decision in life to think of the consequences. We always taught our children, think of the consequences of your action. But I want to say to you this morning, friends, that the what-ifs can so easily imprison us. And we need to assess the cost. The Lord Jesus Christ said that in one of his parables. Which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Yes, sit down. But Paul is here talking about the fact that if we think in the wrong perspective, if we allow our opponents, if we allow even our friends to keep us away from the Lord Jesus Christ, then that can be destructive. I'm not frightened in anything by your opponents. Friends, I can say to you this morning that fear traps. Fear destroys. And yet, we're told that if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then he will free us from those fears. John 8 says to us that the Son will make you free and you will be free indeed. This morning, friends, what is it that is holding you back? First of all, from coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or perhaps taking another step with him and walking on with him. Now, you're dealing with this tension, the fear and the faith. Well, let me help you to think through your decision, because my second heading this morning is salvation and destruction. And Paul, again here, is talking about the effect of these opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. Paul is laying before people here an option. The options that we have in life are, one, to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, or as Paul puts it here, our salvation is from God. We are saved this morning, not simply because Jesus Christ died on the cross. We can be saved this morning because God the Father, God in Trinity, so loved the world that he sent his Son into the world. Yes, he sent his Son to die on the cross, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Paul is saying, that is what is on offer. Eternal salvation. No fear of death. No fear of the judgment of God, because Jesus has suffered in your place. The other option is destruction. The wages of sin is death. It's not a discussion point. It is a fact. If we believe in God, he will take the broken issues of our lives and he will make something valuable from them. If we turn our back on God, if we live without God, essentially we will destroy ourselves, because God is the source of life. Now, a lot of people find such a clear distinction difficult to cope with. And let's be honest, we live in a day of multiple choices. That term multiple choice is usually used of exams. But you go into a supermarket today and you're going in for a loaf of bread. When I was a kid, it was white bread or brown bread. Sometimes you could get sliced bread, but not these days. Well, think of the choices that you get. Think of television. I don't remember simply the BBC, but I do remember simply BBC and ITV, and that was the choice. But these days, you can exhaust yourselves, can't you? Flicking through the channels with the choices. Think of restaurants and eating out. Oh, it was terrific on Whit weekend to go on a bus trip all the way to Tenby, 10 miles for us, and to be able to go out and have fish and chips. Well, it's a common day event today, isn't it? And you can start on one corner of the street, you can go to a Chinese, you can go to a Thai, you can go to a Greek, you can go to an Indian. Oh yeah, and there are fish and chips as well in some places. But we've got this range of choices, haven't we? And we think that that is what eternity is like. We look at the vast array of religions and we say, what have they got to offer? And they've got many things to offer. But Christianity says to us, there are only two things on offer. There is salvation. There is the assurance of being saved eternally from the judgment of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That is one option. Or the other option is knowing the judgment of God, because we have chosen to live without him, because we have chosen to make our own decisions, because we have chosen to turn our back on the teaching of the Bible and on faith in the God who loves us. Friends, God has no delights in the death of a sinner. God has no delights in casting judgment on those who have lived without him. He is so concerned that people should come to faith that he talks to us about heaven. He talks in particular in the book of Revelation, and we're given wonderful pictures of what happens in heaven. But even in the Old Testament, we're given glimpses. And the psalmist writes in Psalm 16, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Friends, this is the reality of life: salvation or destruction. Paul wrote to a church. We don't know a lot about its members, but we do know about two of its earliest members. One was a fortune teller, and one was a prison warden. The fortune teller in Acts 16 is described as a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain. She lived a life without Christ. But in reality, she was a slave owned by other people. Paul met her one day when he was going out to meet with other Christians. And she was following him and his friends through the market, and she was saying, "This man is the servant of the Most High God." Paul turned around to her and he rebuked the spirit. And this woman, who had no human rights because she was a slave owned by other people, who had no spiritual freedom because she was possessed by a destructive spirit, this woman came to faith. She, in effect, was being destroyed by the life that she lived. But when she was converted, her owners, they had no concern about her. We're told in Acts 16 that her owners, when they saw that she'd lost her spirit of fortune telling, they were annoyed. because they had lost their source of income. But this girl had moved from being a slave to others to becoming a child of God. She had moved from being possessed by an evil spirit to being possessed by the Spirit of God. So that was one of the first members of the church in Philippi. Another member was a prison warden. Paul and Silas had been arrested. They'd been beaten up. This man had thrown them into the deepest cells, and there'd been an earthquake. And the prisoners were all released. And as a result of this huge earthquake, the prison warden was ready to commit suicide. And Paul said to him, don't, whatever you do, don't take your life. So the man came to him, knowing that his life was in the balance. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What did Paul say to him? Make sure that you've got a degree in theology. Make sure you've done the latest Bible study course. No, he said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. These people had both been in a situation of destruction, not by their decisions, but by the reality of life. And that's where all of us start. But by their experience of God, they had moved to a position of being saved. Their lives changed immediately. And like Paul and every believer, they had the confidence of being able to say, yes, I am saved. Paul, when he wrote to the Roman church, said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Friends, this is the experience of every Christian. Yes, we suffer. Yes, we become ill. Yes, people treat us badly on occasions. But nobody can take from us the peace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. These people in Philippi had been filled with the control of other people, or perhaps their own selfish control. But they'd moved to a position where they had given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saved. They were saved eternally. I want to ask you this morning, where are you? Are you saved, or are you being destroyed by the judgment of God? But let's move on to the third couplet, the third point in our message this morning. Saved but suffering. Paul has spoken about salvation, the act of being saved, in verse 28. And then in verse 29 and 30 he says, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Having spoken about salvation, a lot of people think, surely if I've been saved, then I'm not going to have any problems in life. Friends, that is not the reality. The reality is that when we are saved, we are kept by the Lord Jesus Christ, but we do know issues and problems. I want to use an illustration now, and I want to be sensitive in the way that I use it, because I know the experience of many of you in the congregation. But when a person goes to see the doctor, and they are given that sad news, you have cancer, the doctor says, there's hope. You can be saved. You can be healed. But in order to be healed, you will need to go through chemotherapy. Now, if you've gone through chemotherapy, you know that it is a horrible treatment. If you've known loved ones or friends who've gone through chemotherapy. Perhaps at times you thought, is it worth it? This therapy is so horrible. Is it really worth it? And then at the end, the doctor says, you are in remission. You can be discharged. The cancer that you had has been dealt with. And in a way, the Christian life is like that. Each of us is a victim of sin. Sin has to be dealt with. It was dealt with at the cross. There is no condemnation to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But what chemotherapy does is to attack the cells of our body in order to destroy those cells that have the potential of generating more cancer and therefore causing greater pain and destruction. When we become Christians, God the Holy Spirit says to us, see that part of your life? It's like a cancerous cell. It's going to be dealt with. We read in the Bible one day, and the Bible says to us, that part of your life is not helpful. It's got to be dealt with. It's got to be removed. It's got to be brought under control. And that is what Paul is talking about here. And sometimes God says to us, you trust me, but I want you to trust me even more. And that's what the Philippians were going through. They trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, but they were going through many difficulties. As Christians, we suffer the attacks of evil spirits. We get destroyed, not destroyed, but distracted by false teachers. People come in amongst us and they say, we need to go this way. And they cause diversions. And that is what Paul is talking about here. The suffering that comes from people who would want to take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people make the mistake of thinking that Christians are perfect as soon as they're converted. They're not. There is not one perfect Christian in this building this morning. And therefore God has to deal with us and say, I want you to deal with that in your life. Give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will forgive you and he will give you the help of the Holy Spirit to go forward. There are times, and we are tempted to take our eyes off the cross of Christ and to make something else important. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet called Daniel, and his three friends, went to university in Babylon. They got good jobs, and one day, the king of Babylon, with his false advisors, made this huge statue and said that everybody had to bow down to it. I don't know where Daniel was, but he wasn't in the crowd, but his three friends were. And when the music started, which was the signal for bowing down to this idol, everybody bowed down. Except Daniel's three friends. Have you ever stood up in church to sing a hymn when everybody else is sitting down? You know how you felt? Well, you multiply that by a few thousand. And that's how Daniel's friends felt. But they didn't do it by accident. They did it on purpose. And as a result, the king became so angry and he was going to throw them into the furnace. He tried to destroy them. Now, I'm not promising that God will keep any of us in a fiery furnace. But those men went through a furnace of suffering. and they met God in a special way. And I know many of you, in fact, I'll use an example from our former membership. Many of you go through suffering and you meet God in a special way. I said it at a funeral, and I'm sure I will use it a number of times in my preaching. Joan Jackson, with all her pain, with all her suffering, never once complained. And she had faith in our God. She knew what it was to lose the freedom in life, but she still trusted God. Friends, we are faced with a choice this morning. Be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, or continue in the destruction that we have at this time. If we are saved eternally, we may know suffering, but that suffering will teach us new things about God. It will help us to trust Him more than we have ever trusted Him. If we continue living life as we want to live it, we will destroy ourselves because we will die without Christ. Friends, I don't want to say to you the choice is yours. The responsibility is yours. Will you continue along this path of destruction? Or will you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that you are kept by Him? I pray that each of you will know the salvation and experience the salvation that is available in Jesus Christ alone. Let's sing the second.